Havertz in a pocket of space. Edison came and didn't get there. Chance for Chelsea. Goal for Chelsea.
Well, as possibly bleak as this.
Drogba! Can you believe it? Chelsea will just not let go in the Champions League. Most dramatic story of the season. It's Torres to give Chelsea.
Unbelievable!
Hey, okay. since you said you have a lot to talk about regarding the Brentford game, the floor is yours.
I said I can remember. It was Michael actually. He had a lot to talk about.
Oh, Michael!
I was really capping, but I do have some things to say. To say, I was capping. I was capping, for sure. But if as we started, for me personally, just firstly, the tone of this pod, I feel is there's not going to be a lot of positive things to say about the club in this in generally the state of the board, the state of the fan base, the state of the players. It's down. Allegedly, our rivals in Northwest London, you guys can confirm to me because I'm not watching that. But our rivals in Northwest London are beating Thingy right now, are beating Sheffield United.
They're doing someone.
Yeah. I ain't watching that.
Have you not seen Shem's dad smiling?
Yeah. But I don't know why people try to hate watching that because Arsenal always gonna win.
I didn't even bother.
Let's be guided.
Bro, they've scored like 20 goals in the last like 3-4 matches.
Bro, they're playing a team that has 3 wins all season. Man. Come on now.
Do you know they've conceded like 5 goals at home in like the last?
Listen. You worry. When are we playing Sheffield? We'll show you something.
We'll try our best to disgrace ourselves. Like, I think I tweeted it the other day. Like, with Brentford having all their injuries, it doesn't matter if they're playing the B team, like the women's team.
Wait. Sorry, Ope. Three home games in a row.
Yeah.
In the league, they conceded 5 and scored 0.
Yeah, bro. It's been bad.
Yeah.
And then to make it 4 games in a row in all comps, they lost 5-2 to Brighton in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
They need to be relegated to League One, like bypass that whole championship thing because this is shameful. Shameful.
But you know where they came up under Chris Wilder? They were really good. Like, they were tough to play against.
Do you remember that game?
Go on for me.
No, do you remember that game in lockdown where we played Sheffield?
From home.
Yeah, we lost 3-0.
Yeah.
Not even
And then the game after we played West Ham or something.
No, we played Norwich the next game. We played West Ham before Sheffield.
Yeah, that Rudiger match.
The biggest problem, not too much on Sheffield, but they had a manager called Paul Heckenbottom, who is one of the worst coaches to ever coach in the league. He's just a good championship coach.
Their levels are different, man.
Yeah. Brandon, but who are we to talk? Because like you guys already harkened on, we drew 0-0 with them already. I'm not sure if we're going to beat them whenever.
No, we beat them at the bridge. We beat them.
Oh, we did?
Yeah,
2-0. I'm sure I saw XG somewhere.
No, that was at half time. Jackson Palmer scored.
Okay. But getting to the Brentford game, for me personally, it was one of those games where it almost feels like Poch is like an interim coach and there's nothing to play for this season and we're just having to... It feels like Lampard at the end of last season. I didn't have nothing to be excited about for this game. When we scored that goal, even though Brentford hadn't had the momentum switch, it felt generally like, you know what, something can happen easily in the second half where it turns against us, and it did. In terms of pre-match, injury-wise, I think you mentioned it already, Oprah. That whole rubbish about they're struggling, their back four is gone, this guy, that whatever, it doesn't matter. We saw against Liverpool that whoever you put on that pitch, if you can figure out to come against Chelsea with some sort of structure, basic. I don't know what you guys think of it, but it could be just a simple basic structure. You can get us. You can get us.
Yeah.
Like I'm a man. People say that I'm Poch. Poch is my guy. I don't know where all these rumors came from. You know, I never fuck with that guy. But I will say this, I really did not expect us to be in this position right now, where this season is getting just depressing consistently on this level. Like,
We're at
it's
a
dark.
point, yeah.
It's dark.
If we don't score three goals, we're not winning the match. Because we will concede once, guaranteed. And we'll probably concede twice. So it's all of these, like for example, in that Brentford match, we could have killed the game by half time, realistically. Like, we had so many chances. We were on them and they weren't really doing anything, but we can't kill a game. Like, it's always a different player as well that is letting us down with a shot they should have scored. If it's not Gallagher, it's Jackson. If it's not Jackson, it's Palmer. Like, is always somebody who's queuing up to miss, like, an open goal or a chance that realistically a good player or a well-coached player should be scoring. And then I just want to say, yeah, I don't know what on earth Poch does in his halftime talks, because when we come out, yeah, I think we're the worst team in the league in the first 5 minutes of a match restart. Like,
confusion.
It's horrific.
And confusion, I don't for me, I'm telling you. Confusion. Have you seen that video? I don't know if you've seen that video where he's talking to that woman during the Carabao Cup. Yeah, yeah. That's how he's talking to them. Sorry to interrupt you, but that's what he's doing. He's just chatting rubbish and confusing them more. And when they come back out, it's confusion.
The commentator was there like, Thomas Frank has definitely like got onto them and been screaming at Brentford. And I was just thinking, I just know whatever Poch did is not going to match up to the talk that Thomas Frank has given these Brentford players. Like,
if you want to know, we are 17th in the second half table.
What does that mean?
And so if games were based on the second half result only, we'd be 17th. So we are one of the worst teams in the second half in the league.
Yeah.
And we are mid-table in the first half.
But you know what? This is a consistent Chelsea problem. And I think this is Poch's biggest failure, because we have struggled, I would say, keeping up that momentum in the second half for almost, probably since Conte. It's just been a thing that's been around. But what Poch is doing is that he's highlighting it. He's maximizing our negative traits, if that makes any sense. Yeah. And yeah, just I don't know what we do in that second half. Yeah, but I don't know if any of you guys want to speak on that first half more, because it does need to. There is a little bit more to go on to.
Like, with the first half, I think, like, see Brentford's team, they have bare injuries. And like, I think I tweeted out, it doesn't matter how many players the team's missing, we'll just somehow conceive to struggle. And we struggled badly. We started with a back five. And again, Brentford are playing like a B team defence, and we still don't look threatening at all. Like, your only attackers are what, Jackson, Palmer, and it showed to the first half, and it was just poor around. And like Michael, like you said, everything about us just basic, 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 like basic build up, basic patterns. Like, there's no ingenuity, there's nothing there. Like, even the goals, even our best chances, guys, they come through transition. They don't come through us breaking teams down. And I always keep saying, like, we'll get this guy and build up. He doesn't coach it. That's what a team puts on a press. We crumbled. That second half was, I knew we were going to crumble, the moment we didn't kill the game off. But it is what it is at this guy at this stage. Like, Brentford, they're not a good team. Like, you saw once we upped the ante, they were crumbling and we got the equaliser. And had we started with another attack, we probably would have finished them off in the first half, because once Mudryk and Sterling came on, it became so easy for us to create. But yeah, I'm just tired and fed up with this guy, man. Because
how many games has he gone with a back three or five in this season?
Never. Never.
So why did he choose to do it?
He said that the height,
yeah,
defend the crosses, but we weren't doing that well at all. Like, even though he had a fantastic game, Gusto for the second goal, I don't think he puts enough pressure on Reguilon to stop the cross. But it's not just him.
What about your boy?
Yeah, well, I haven't started on De Sassi. Wait, which one? Who's my boy?
Him.
Oh, De Sassi. Oh, that's the first goal. Yeah, he's on the first goal.
Talk about it, because every time you're saying that. People are scapegoating him, this, that.
No, but he had a shocking game. Him and Jackson didn't have great games, by the way. But with De Sassi, especially with the first goal, he doesn't react properly at all. Same way with Caicedo missing the duel as well. Like, but
I don't really blame Caicedo on that one. I know he's The only reason I do, because it is a 50-50, like it's a genuine 50-50. So once if the Brentford player wins it in that moment, it is on DRC to do his job. And I think he kind of just falls over, really and truly. Like
He just doesn't react.
he doesn't react fast enough. And you have to ask yourself, there's a lot, we concede a lot of goals just from those simple moments. I think where our reaction time and also the way our defenders evaluate the risk is poor. They don't know how to, they don't, it's almost, it's, I think the one, Thiago Silva does this great, by the way. I don't think we concede a goal in that moment if he's there, but obviously his deficiencies lie elsewhere. The problem with the Assi in that moment is, yeah, he doesn't react fast
He
enough.
doesn't
And
skate.
yeah, his body positioning was wrong. And
But
he,
the thing with all of the goals you can see, there's always like a catalog of errors. It's always a catalog of errors. Like you would like forget the goal. It's just like, why are you dominating Brentford and why in the second half are you letting them rattle you like that? Like we don't manage games well at all either.
Oh, I know why we don't manage games well.
Why?
Because the manager is
Certain manager.
losing is ingrained in his soul, in his
Bro.
body, in his philosophy. He's a loser. So when he comes up with players that have never won anything, what do you think is going to happen? They will turn into losers too.
Bro, we're such losers. Like, I can't express how badly we're some losers. Like
Generational losers.
the mentality, this whole everything we're doing, like I know even you lot, some of you are losers, man. I know some of you lot were gassed that we drew that game against Brentford. Some of you
Gas.
definitely celebrated that
That's
equalizer,
a
man.
celebrated, you know. Please
Yeah,
look.
you did. I saw you
I
were
personally,
jumping
I
in the
don't think I
second half.
celebrated one goal in that game. I can't lie
Bro,
to you. Not one goal
we were
did I
literally,
celebrate.
we just got on with our day, please. Like,
I
you're a
was just
liar.
want to
Let
let
me
me watch
go.
this game, analyze it, we'll speak
Yeah,
about it on
let
the
me watch.
pod. That's
Don't
it.
let me find
Sure.
your tweets that you screamed. I know you screamed.
Never,
Yes, we're
never.
back.
I have not celebrated a goal
Yeah.
since God knows when. Like I'm even thinking it's a stretch because
The
we
only
didn't
goal I
score
was
no goals against
celebrating
Liverpool.
madly with the Sassy against Middlesbrough. I don't know why, but that goal, yeah, I celebrated that
See,
goal.
are you not thinking you're a loser?
Nah, because I love to listen, the Sassy is like that. That's vibes, man.
I didn't celebrate one any goal we scored against
I
Middlesbrough.
didn't even know we played Middlesbrough. When did we play Middlesbrough?
During
Was
AFCON
in
or
semi-final?
January. This was in January.
Yeah.
Oh, that match.
I can't lie. Them times I was too focused on AFCON. I did not give a shit
Bro.
about Chelsea. I did not give
That
a toss about what's going on
was
with
that wasn't even that weren't even cute because we were really going into a match against Middlesbrough 1-0 down.
It was life and death. It was life and death before the game. You know,
I wonder why.
Poch was in the presser talking about how, you know what, you shouldn't be questioning my job before playing Middlesbrough, bro. Do you think anyone really wants to like focus on games like this at this moment in time? Like, everything is like almost it's he should be gone by now. This is my
No,
opinion.
it's since we're talking about Middlesbrough, Ope, the goals we scored against Middlesbrough, yeah, how many of them came through like our own spell of possession slash build up?
Ooh. I'd say one because no. One or two.
Are you
And
saying that they all came from their errors?
transition, yeah.
how many goals did we score that day, Ope?
Six.
Just goes to show.
I'm
Against a
not excited about
championship
stuff like that
side,
because
against
I
a
feel
championship side, for me,
no, but I
they
feel
had
like that's the
better
type of
build
thing
up.
that that's the type of thing that. Like, listen, I don't care about the nitty-gritty. Just win the games. Just score goals and win games. But I don't care. I feel like Chelsea fans love to do this over like cute analysis. Like, listen, beggars can't be choosers. I see Man City week after week win games by capitalizing on their opponents' like errors. They do it all the time. They did it this weekend. Like, just no one cares. Just win the
No,
match. Like,
but
not gonna complain because you
for
didn't
me,
have enough. Whether you if you got three penalties, I don't care. You still
we have
won.
to
Like,
address the we have
but
to address the
for
structure
me,
issues though.
wait, Michael, let me respond to that quickly. The difference is between us and Man City. Man City can create their own luck or create their own goals from their own spell of possession. We actively cannot do that.
Yeah.
That's what the difference is. That's why we are so dead against teams that just sit in a mid block. And they wait for us to move,
We
or they
lose
wait
the
for us.
same bit.
It's the same. Like it's what's killing us.
It's the same pattern. And the thing is, as a coach, even you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen because every single team. Like, what will happen is we play against low block. We have all this point of possession, miss maybe one or two glaring chances. If we score, they'll up the ante and we'll crumble.
Yeah.
If we don't score, they'll get confidence and they'll nick one on the break.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the reason why I'm always about the overanalysis stuff, because I look for signs of sustainability. You know, when we're winning back in December, like Palace, all those three games, I said we're not doing shit because this wasn't sustainable.
What, oh, a penalty
to beat a crap Palace side, a penalty
Bro,
to
beating Palace is like beating Spurs. It means absolutely nothing.
Not, exactly. Luton, we played. Okay, we actually did score some good goals that game, but you're crumbling against Luton.
Yeah, we almost threw the game against Luton.
So when you're seeing stuff like that, like, it doesn't bode well when you're going to come against more competent sides. And lo and behold, we lost against Liverpool, we lost against Wolves.
How many games this season have we won by more than a one goal?
Like, that's margin. A very good question, you know. So
it Burnley, has to be about two.
Burnley, Fulham, Tottenham, Palace. I think four I can think of right now. Four.
What was the score against Preston?
Oh, 4-0.
I didn't know you were counting those games.
Yeah, I was counting.
I thought it was just counting league matches, to be fair.
No, to be fair, we won quite a few by like more than one goal. Yeah, because Luton beat them 3-0.
Burnley, Spurs we beat 4-1.
And yeah. We lost 4-2 to Wolves.
Yeah.
Burnley we beat 4-1.
Fulham
2-0.
Sheffield
United 2-0. Luton 3-0.
Yeah, Sheffield United 2-0. So,
and that's it.
Mind you, majority of those teams lack structure, and the Tottenham one, we were very lucky. That was it. Like, that's it.
The better question to ask for me is like, how many games have you won convincingly? Luton at home, I'll give him that one. But even then, I was a bit scared because we're 1-0 up for a very long time. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure, for sure. I think this game really just summed up everything. And I'm going to give one little bit of grace here, is that in the odd moment, you will catch nice sequences. And you'll think, why can't we do this more consistently? Because it's not practiced. Yeah, that's the answer. You know the answer.
What are they doing then?
Like, I see. Like, there was one moment in time where they were the movement of the ball. Palmer was coming, us chasing for the ball. It was like about like 30 passes, and it looked really good. And I just thought, okay, maybe this was early in the game, like maybe first 10 minutes.
I think I know what you're talking about, actually.
You know what I'm talking about, and I thought, okay. This looks nice. Like, we can do this. We didn't do it for the rest of the half.
Bro, that's why.
That's Chelsea Football Club right now.
Bro, that's
whenever, they're whenever just you, like my under-11 side, bro.
Bro, whenever you lot see that build-up pattern, I keep saying it's not Poch coaching it. It's just because we've got good players build-up. Like, any team that puts enough pressure on us is long. Brentford just, like, literally, all Brentford had to do was be more aggressive and be more direct. And we literally crumbled. Nothing, like, amazing tactically. They just said, fuck it, we're going to go at you this time. And we crumbled. Every player on the ball was just shook.
The day I saw Enzo on the shoulder of the last man whilst...
Is that Fulham? I mean...
Nah, yeah.
Yeah.
Whilst Chilwell had no idea what he was doing, Modric had no idea what he was doing, the rotations were so awful. Everything was down the side. There wasn't one time I can accurately remember where we were able to find gaps through the middle to break them. And
you think
he was going mad at Cole as well because Cole wouldn't play like a risky pass.
That's why I feel sorry for Caicedo, bro, because he's literally the only one in the centre.
He was on an island. Sorry for me. What were you going to say?
Do you think we've improved our set pieces this season?
No.
I feel like we...
No.
We are so bad.
Remember when we had Tuchel? We were very good at set pieces. Remember when Jorginho...
What are we talking about? Defending or taking?
Both.
What are you talking about?
I was talking about taking.
Taking, we were better maybe. 2 years ago when we had like Rudiger, Silva, Christensen,
Havertz.
Whatever he just said.
No, but it's true. It's actually good in the end. You can't do that, bro.
Target, man.
Now you've got to be fair. I haven't scored a couple from corners.
Yeah, you actually have to be fair there still. But But I know what you mean, Bassi. But the team is a lot smaller, so yeah. But defending corners or any set piece, my
goodness. No, absolutely not.
We're one of the worst in the league, literally, statistically.
Who's our set piece coach?
I don't know. I think it's one of Poch's boys.
They're trying to steal the brother from Brentford right now, and
stop stealing guys from like. Hey, so
I always on FM. I took him from Brentford. Still,
is he? Oh, he is good. He's got
high ratings.
He's got like 20 or something stupid. He's, yeah,
well, he's his rating is green on set pieces on FM. So I just know he's sick.
That's the first year you need a set piece coach, isn't it?
So. Yeah. Sorry, that was mad off topic.
No, no, it's true.
It makes sense.
Brendan Quiver or something like that.
Bro, did you see? I don't know, Michael. You watch, like, when you focus on the players at set pieces, everyone looks shook. Like, they're always panicking.
They always have the wrong guys on the wrong person as well. Like, Mudryk will always be marking one guy. I'm like, why did you put Mudryk on that fella, fam?
It doesn't make any sense at all. And it's because it does seem, yeah, like we don't have a plan for set pieces.
Of course,
like,
we don't.
We don't. And that's actually crazy. And I know there's a role of a set piece coach and so forth, but that is one of the key points to how most teams score goals. When you're playing the bottom half teams, they focus on making sure that they can capitalize on set pieces, because then they expect that they're not going to get open play goals like that against the bigger teams. So if we're not actually you know, working on that and training that, then it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it's right. When the defenders set pieces, I ask you, just look at, for example, someone, you said Mudryk before. Mudryk is always defending the biggest man on the pitch. It doesn't, that Van Dijk goal was didn't come out of nowhere. Sorry to go back to that, because I listened to the last pod, and even my head would, I would have been fuming speaking about how we conceded that goal. That didn't happen for no reason. It didn't happen for no reason. And it's not also a height issue as well. Because yes, Mudryk might not be the tallest person on, but what are you instructing him to do if you're going to make him defend against the biggest guy on the pitch?
Bro, even if it's a height issue, I keep saying, like, you don't even want to play Matson. Like, if you know you're struggling in certain areas or certain phases of the game, why do you keep allowing it to happen? So you know you struggle with set pieces. Why are you making the game so chaotic so a team like them could rack up that many set pieces? Why do you keep the balls away?
I also don't think height is the... Like, it's... Oh, don't get me wrong. It's a hindrance. Yeah. But it's not the be-all and end-all in terms of defending. Like, you can't keep relying on that. Like, if you can't beat somebody in the air because they've got that height advantage, you need to be tight on them that they're less likely to get in and around, that they're less likely. You need to be doing, like, you know, like what Cucurella does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to not give them any room to, like, get in the space and stuff like that. So,
literally, just figure out.
It's a tight excuse that Poch is sticking to. And if everybody, like, you've known their heights for how long? Is you that's going after all of these short ballers? Like, that's a you problem.
No, but for me, you said it right. It's literally that. Like, if you know their strength is, like, corners and crosses, you need to reduce the amount of times they do it. Because football is like, if you keep letting something happen, they'll eventually capitalize from it. Do you get it?
Bro,
but if you minimize that, lo and behold.
I don't want to bring up like another team, but Man City, bro, indeed, they have so many bozo players, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're comfortably winning a game, what do you see? They're still controlling the game. They're still making what they want to happen. Us, we'll be in the lead. And then these men will just sit off. Or they'll try and protect the goal. But my guy, you can't defend. So why are you protecting the goal, bro? You guys don't know. You actively don't know how to defend. So why are you trying to spend the whole game protecting the goal when you can't?
Bro, do you know what kills me as well? It's like with Poch, it's like, this guy's saying, oh, players are tired, players are exhausted. Why wouldn't they be exhausted when every game is a basketball match where it's end-to-end, end-to-end, where you're doing so much running? Why wouldn't you be exhausted? We play once, and guys look so... And they look flat on their feet after 17 minutes. Like, what is this guy doing? I don't get it.
Don't know how to... His in-game management is terrible as well.
Disgusting. It's so bad. Like,
it's why we have to look here, and I keep saying it until the end of days. That pre-season, what we all... I personally feel completely swindled the fan base. Like, I don't know what happened from that moment. Yes, I understand you might not rate Poch. You might not think he's a great manager, so forth. But he collectively decided to throw all of the ideas that he had in the summer completely. Even though bad or good, he said, no, throw them out. and come up with everything changed. His presses changed. His in-game management changed. His focus, the things that he focuses on, changed. You can't even blame some people who wanted him in completely, because you'd be like, this is not the same man you hired.
What do you mean you can't blame people?
You can't completely, because this is... It's he's came like a thief in the night for me
at the start.
I did not, but look, I gave him
Michael, we've got the list
based off what you were living off a hype of a pre COVID Spurs Dele Alli.
You know what is, yeah, it's so funny you mentioned this for me, because I went back and I went to go see who that man was. This is not the same, brother. This is not even post, go back to 2017. Poch. This is not the same guy.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, anybody that you like saying, oh, you can forgive people who wanted Poaching because this isn't the same Poch, obviously.
Not forgive. That's a stretch. I'm not saying forgive. I'm saying I can understand that the people that were excited from the beginning of the season, thinking that, oh, we can do something, to the point where we are now.
Maybe having faith in this team, like the squad, but if people were anyone who's excited because Poch was coming in, I'm really scared of you, actually.
I think what it was a thing where you're looking at what he's offering, what he's bringing to the team in that moment in time in the summer. You tell me, when you saw the Brighton game, how did you feel? When you saw Brighton preseason, all of you, how did you guys feel?
I don't watch preseason games.
Okay, well, look, I know a lot of people were excited. I saw the fan reaction. I saw people saying, you know, the opportunity is here. Now, I'm not thinking it was the second coming of Jose Mourinho. No way on earth. I don't rate Poch that highly to think that. But I'm thinking, okay, this is a manager that can settle us, at least for the time being.
That's what I'm...
Yeah, and I'll give you that.
Which is why
he should be sacked, because no matter how bad players are, how undeveloped they are, they're not bad enough that we should be where we are. Like, exactly. We should be in and around those European spots. I did think he would at least do better than this. And
around. For me, I want to let you know, Aston Villa currently sit fourth in the Premier League. Are you going to tell me?
We're not better than Villa, though. We don't have a squad or managers. All managers.
Are you going to tell me, man for man? Man for man, if we go through the squad,
I think we're overrated players. Not gonna lie.
No, but for me,
I think we're better than like 11th, of course, but I don't think we're better than like we should be 7th, 8th.
Are you telling me, man for man, West Ham 7th for me?
Yeah, we should be 7th.
They've lost 8 in a row.
The only teams that are above us that shouldn't be above us is Newcastle. Brighton
should not be above us. Just saying,
West Ham for me.
Wolves. The teams that are above us are Wolves, Brighton, Newcastle, West Ham, Man United, Spurs, Villa. Yeah.
Hey, I think we lost all those teams.
Spurs and Villa are definitely better than us, and I think United are slightly better than us. And the thing that takes them over the edge of us is like that individual like moments. You know what I mean? Like those moments that they have, that player that will win them the game every single match when they've been shit. We don't really have that. We play quite, like, our season is quite similar to them, actually. It's very woeful. But we don't have, like, as much star quality as them. I'm not looking at that table thinking, yeah, we should be fifth. I don't think that at all.
But for me, do you know, I think if I can find the tweet, they had the tweet of Steven Gerrard's last game in charge and Unai Emery, the team they played the other day, is 7 of the same 11. 7 of the same 11. And Gerrard left them in 17th. 1 point above the relegation zone.
This is what happens when you maximize the players at your disposal via great coaching.
Bro, like, you know,
bro, all I'm saying is that there's not a world that I would live in where I would think that Aston Villa would be fourth in this current climate.
Yep.
If I go through their squad, like, bro,
like Ollie Watkins before Emery was like, if he got double digits, well done. He's on 16 goals, 10 assists.
Look, like, who are some of these
players? Do you get what I'm saying?
This is exactly what I'm saying.
And Tim Oreg, I can't even say that, and it sounds
like I don't know where you guys though are forgetting one aspect of it, and that's the thing that every single team that's above us are better run clubs at this moment in time. And
That's true.
And we cannot discount that. I'm not going to talk about Villa when I know that their ownership have done a fantastic job since Gerrard.
Yeah.
In recruitment, in squad management, in all aspects, but in hiring the coach,
they've done a fantastic
job. They give him a lot of control as well.
Even if we just take a look at the last matchup we had against Villa, yeah, that was probably our maybe top two performances the whole season.
Yep.
And we played them at their home ground where they were, one of the best in Europe.
Yeah, their form then was crazy as well.
And we tore them apart. We tore them to shreds.
You know what it is with their team as well? Because they play that high line, any big team always has a draw against them. Because even United, United at Old Trafford, they were 2-0 down. They got back so easy just because of that high line. Like, Villa are good, but listen, this Poch guy is just doing haram things because there's no way they should be where they are.
You're telling me John McGinn is going to be starting left midfield in the Champions League next season. Meanwhile, Enzo is going to play another season without Champions League.
You know Longley? No comment. The guy that shit, Longley.
You're telling me Clement Longley should be playing Champions League football again in post-COVID? No, come on
like,
now.
For me, the biggest one is Watkins because he wasn't like a terrible striker beforehand, but for him to get 16 and 10 already.
I mean, he's better than all of our strikers.
You guys are saying bad things. Some of these players you're thinking are better than the ones you mentioned. Yeah. You mentioned John McGinn.
No,
I'm sorry.
That's what I was thinking.
What I'm saying is that, like, Watkins before Emery wasn't that guy you anyone speaking about like that. He's now got 16 and 10.
It's Matty Cash.
Matty Cash
missed me with this.
Matty Cash was their guy.
Nah, Matty Cash has been
since
good, man.
Grealish left, he's been there.
Only players that are really at Villa, Douglas Luiz,
Kamara,
and the Jamaican.
Watkins.
I do have a soft spot for Tielemans, man. I've always
Watkins and
say his name again.
Tielemans, man. I like Tielemans.
You can beat him in 100 meter, brother. Don't ever. don't
Jacob
do
Brunson.
That. Don't bring
don't
that name up to me.
Ope, y'all look alike.
hey, pod title,
man. Oh shit! Oh my days!
Every like skin player. It's not like it's there. It's this. Oh, fuck off.
I can't even imagine you running alongside him. Somebody should
edit of that. But yeah, like. Villa well coached, Spurs well coached as well. Because I'm just reminding you guys, the narrative going to the season was that Spurs were cooked. That was the narrative. Now they're fifth. Did you get it?
We should have hired Ange, but that's another
West Ham
story.
As well. West Ham went.
My guy, did you know who Ange Postecoglou was, bro?
I did, funny enough. I never knew him for Chelsea, know. But I remember that Celtic run, especially because I'm pretty sure when he joined was when Gerrard left us. And then, yeah,
ooh,
he was playing.
Yeah, you're right.
And he was playing great football in the Champions League. At some point, he was losing the games, but they were playing great football.
But I'm not tuning into Champions League football to see Celtic, brother. I'm not tuning into Champions League to watch Celtic. I'll tell you that for free.
The thing with Poch is that, like, even if you, like, for me, says perfectly, even if you don't rate the squad, you think it's this, is that, it shouldn't be 11th. I don't think the players are that bad as well.
Bro,
we're not going to finish 11th, though. Don't worry.
Bro,
we're coming.
I know,
bro.
What he's doing is nasty because now
I'm coming
no.
seventh.
But you guys, we're really going to gloss over. Yeah. We even missed out the game against Leeds. Championship.
It's good that you brought that game up, actually.
Exactly.
That's another game that I know, Ope, you took your top off to celebrate.
Leeds, I was on, I was on my walk.
I saw you post on Snap.
I was sharp, man. I was on my walk home. I saw Leeds to the level. I got home. I saw Jackson scored. I like Jackson when he scores, man. I was saying today, he's got, like, listen.
Jackson in Arsenal's squad, yeah? 20 goals.
You see that header? I was so proud of him because I was like, right, that's actually a good goal.
Jackson in our squad could get 20 goals.
He'll do that header and then do what he did against Brentford. Man rounded the keeper and then passed the ball to the corner flag.
I think it was awkward for him, though.
Nah, he's just scared. He's like, me and Elsa, he's mad scared in front of goal. Like, it's peak. Because all of his goals, bar the header, were all like tappings, like where, like, if you missed, then there's something really wrong with you.
I just think everyone's a bit dramatic about Jackson. Like, he does get things wrong, but he's nowhere near as bad as Chelsea and rivals make out. Like, I was literally having this conversation with Arsenal fans talking to me about Jackson. He has more goals than all of their guys but Saka this season. So, like, he's literally our top, like, non-penalty goal scorer. I feel like he's missed things, but I don't really judge players on their big chances missed, because Haaland has BCMs every single match. It doesn't matter, because you're still, if you, as long as you still score at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, and when obviously this isn't the standard. Like, I can't say like, oh, because he's better than what Tammy put out, or better than like his previous failed like companions. But he has impressed me more than any striker has in a long while at Chelsea. I'm not gonna lie. This is only his first season. I feel like people, it's black tax. Yeah. It's because he's a skinny, like, black forward. Like, people, like, they just do too much about it. Like, if Mudryk had the season that Jackson's having now, do you know the way people be ranting and raving about it? Like, I genuinely think I agree with the sentiment that he might not be our Jog, but he's gonna be our Kalu or our Elka, that type of vibe. But I don't I'll take that.
But you know the thing is,
it is closed. It's closed.
Faye, they always do this when I'm like, this guy has got so many good attributes you can work with. Like, when he scores, they don't say anything. But the moment he misses, Faye's like, you see, he's shit. He's crap. He's this. He's that. I'm like, you lot were backing Werner. Werner could
show the footballer. They rate Werner and Mudryk, bro. That's all you need to say.
Werner was like doing absolute crimes against humanity, missing open goals, failed first touches. He was ducking out of challenges.
Did you not just mention Black Tax, though? You mentioned Black Tax, so you can work out where that one goes. Even the whole the sassy conversation. But I was just going to say this, though, just about Jackson. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I know you guys are saying lovely stuff. I like the guy as well. I don't think he's a striker. That's my opinion. I don't think he's a striker. And
this is what I was going to say.
And this is part of my problem with this club. But
his first season as a striker, though.
This is his first full season as a striker.
And that is fine. That is fine. I'm just telling you, when I look at his qualities, I look at the qualities that he had at Villarreal, I think that he's a winger or inside forward. And it's my problem with the board and the squad. Our player profiling and building a good unit of a team is not great. You're getting players who don't, and it's fine. I'll have him, but you're getting players who don't match the actual need. We needed a striker, an out and out striker. Now, you don't have to go into it too much, but if you're going to mention clubs like Villa and so forth, and whoever who are above us, those players, those clubs, when they're recruiting, they know which profile players they want. They know the exact things that they need, and it works, and that's why it works for them. Do you know what I'm saying? So, look, I still rate Jackson, though. I still rate Jackson, and I think he might hit 20 goals in all comps this season. And
I hope he does.
I don't think with the Jackson one, I agree with you. Like, they shouldn't have ever like trusted a guy like him to be your lead striker when it's his first season. I don't necessarily think like the profiling or the building of the squad is too bad. Because, like, remember before, we didn't have many good technical players. We do now. We've got a lot of creativity, and we never had that before. We've got better dribblers. But I do agree, like, there's no reason in hell that Jackson.
But then you have to look at it like this. We need a ball playing keeper who's good at 1v1s. We didn't get that. We need a left winger who's to left back who's technically secure. We didn't bring that in. Now, you can say Martin is there, but once again, this is the problem with the squad, because you've already brought in a Cucurella in that moment in time. You signed him, and he doesn't meet the profile that we need. But yeah, I get it. Maybe it doesn't attain to all of it, but...
Yeah, but you know, the Jackson one, you're spot on, because even with Jackson, for me, the reason why he can't make it is his ball striking is really bad. It's really bad. Like, the goal Hoyland scored against West Ham, Jackson can't do that. Even the one against Spurs, Jackson can't do that. Like, the way he shoots the ball, there's just not enough.
Hoyland is a real striker.
But it's like, ball striker can separate a lot, especially when you're like, especially with some goals that shouldn't be goals. Just because you shoot the ball with enough venom, it can just go in. Like, I don't know if you guys remember Giroud's against Spurs. Like, seemingly, like, in the area, like, okay, cool. Like, you don't think much of it, but like, because he strikes with so much venom, Lloris can't save it. Same with like someone like Alonso as well, because they strike the ball so well, it could just be so hard for the keeper to like to get fingertips and you just catch keepers out. Jackson's not doing that. And unless that improves, I don't see much. Because I think the movement's improving small, small, but the ball striking is just not there.
It's but how much does meat matter?
Huh? What did she just say?
Not really, because you know when you look at guys and you just think, like say like Hoyland, a lot of the reason, like sometimes players actually, they look like
you're saying he's got power in his frame.
Yeah, he's like Jackson, like I said, he's small.
That's not high. Like, yeah,
you need to become a bit more like,
he needs to build more muscle.
That's a really good point.
He needs to jump on Uncle Eddie's protein plan.
Hey, do not
bring Uncle Eddie here. This guy's because Ozyman, that's my
yeah, bro. I was about to say.
If he comes to this league with that meat that he's carrying,
I was speaking to you about this, Michael.
Which one?
In AFCON, he was actually brilliant, man. What? That's the biggest of the PMP there. He was bullying players in AFCON. We can't.
Definitely.
He's bullying guys that have the same meat as a Dingra fam. They're not. It's not.
Nah. He, do you know what he is?
He's used the correct term. What is going on?
He will run into to Michael, Van Dijk's chest.
I would say he's a bit slight as well. He's very slight.
No, do you know if you know, especially if you play football as well, you get these skinny guys here that just have that strength. And they're the kind of brothers that you play with their elbows, and if it hits your chest, you're not breathing for the next 30 minutes. Like that's the kind of player he is. But to go back to what Fumi was saying though, and I love Osimhen, his ball striking is a little bit, you know, like he doesn't have his ball striking isn't clean as it could be. That's
he's got a lot of power behind him.
I don't, just go watch yesterday's game against Juve. I watched that.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like the Darwin Nunes comparisons are making a lot of sense.
That might be truth, man.
But yeah, Jackson, listen, that's a good squad player there, man. That's a good squad player there. I'm happy with this.
What's our next game, bro? Oh, Newcastle on Monday. Newcastle on Monday. Bro. Jesus Christ. No, we should win that game, to be fair.
We might lose now. They've got their players back.
Sorry. I don't know, man. It's a crucial fixture for Conference League football.
I think less of this, cause I think bro, the only way we make Europe is if we win the FA Cup. Man.
Which Euro?
We're
Europa League. If Chelsea win the FA Cup, they go Europa League.
Oh, if you win Carabao Cup, do you get Conference League or is
Conference
it just
Conference League qualifying?
Wow, what a loser cup, man.
Like, that's why the FA Cup.
They need to take that cup out of here, man.
Nah, I can't do that. Like, Europa League, I hate it, but I think these lot need as much football as possible, so I'll do it there.
No, Europa League, I'm not, that's calm. I'm saying this Conference League, not Conference, it's not that it shouldn't be a thing, it's that Carabao Cup shouldn't be a thing. Well, I still don't understand why we have two domestic trophies. It's just a waste.
I like it.
No, it's a waste.
It's good.
And it's a random stat pad for these, like, the bigger teams.
It's so boring when you only have like the three cups, especially when most teams
they need to have another, there needs to be something different about it. There's nothing different about it from I wish they had it that like there should be a tournament that like Celtic and Rangers.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking of like a British cup.
Yeah.
I see.
So it involves the whole island.
Yeah, that's good. That's actually quite good. Because you
are I think the Football League Cup is dead. It's like, bro, big teams get drawn in, round two, round three, and you're already playing. Like, there's no magic to it, bro. Like, you're not going to see, when was the last time, like, some dead, to be fair, you could say that about the FA Cup. Like, the last time one of these dead teams, like, got to a final or did anything.
Bradford was
like Leicester?
Yeah. Yeah, Leicester. No, but Leicester were top six that year as well, though. So you can't really.
That's what I mean. All of these videos, spirit of the FA Cup, man. There's no spirit. Like, the same teams win it every single year. They were trying to spin this whole Maidstone hype, man. We all knew they weren't going to make it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Maidstone lost.
No, but to be fair,
they lost the cup like 5-0.
They got thumped. But the thing is, for them, it's more about going as far as possible. To get money for their club. Yeah,
that's what I mean. There's no spirit in that. That's depressing.
A good example is Lincoln City. They made the quarterfinal and when they're on the champion, when they're on league, when they're in the conference, and they use that money to get them into league one. Because if you sell out, that can pay off your debts for the season. That is mad. But yeah, they're saying Spirit of the FA Cup now is on BT. Fucking hell.
Hey, lads, let's wrap it up, bro. Newcastle on Monday, what are we saying, man?
Win or lose, I'm happy.
Yeah, you're nasty.
Yeah, I'm the same, to be quite frank. When I saw that we drew, I wasn't happy because
you either need to win, like, and give us points or lose that
yeah,
game.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. It's like you either win to a closer to seventh or sixth, and or you lose and you get them out.
So no, I can't like personally I couldn't care about
as managers.
But this points Who? Wise, I'm sure we're doing better than last season, because last season
so far, yeah,
because we're only 4 points away from safety. Last season, I'm sure it was like April, and we're saying we're still not safe.
Yeah, points wise, we
this
are.
This one's nasty because even though you didn't expect us to be mad, like like last season, yeah, okay, happens, but to have it back to back is when it can start settling in, man. Because I didn't.
It's because you lot are losers. Say it with me. I'm a loser, and that's what Chelsea.
That's guys. That's no, what but question. Guys, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. West Ham went.
They went
2, 3, 4, 5. Games. Six, no, they went 6 league games without a victory before winning back to back games. So they went before the 26th of February. The last time they won a game was on the 20th of December away at Arsenal, and they're still seventh.
We just can't. These draws are pointless. You may as well lose the match. Like, United are showing us that. Because United have really lost 11 matches, fam. They've lost more matches than us. But because they don't draw, like, these draws are killing us. We just don't have that cutting edge to win matches that all of the matches that we should walk, we struggle. And all of the matches that, like, are 50-50, we lose that 50-50 battle. Like, it's ridiculous.
No.
U-man's club.
Embarrassing. It's actually embarrassing. But anyways, let's get result predictions, score predictions for Newcastle.
1-1.
Are we home?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say 2-1 Newcastle. And that's going to be Poch's last game.
I'm trying to, I think we're worse at home than we are away. Hold on.
No.
Worse away now. Because we get scared. We get really scared.
No, according to the table, we when it home games were 12th, away games were 8th.
Wow.
Really? What?
Yeah.
We might just get dicked down away from home then. That's it.
We've got the same amount of
in terms of like performance wise. Because you like Liverpool and United were the worst games for me. And those are away from
home. Well, to be fair,
we're the same. We're actually the same.
That United game, oh my God.
I have nightmares.
I actually can't say what I would have
you
said.
You know my birthday? By the way, you know 5th of April?
Yeah.
They've not approved my annual leave. So that's between them and God. But that's their own problem. But anyway, my birthday is on the 6th of April. On the 4th of April, we're playing United.
United, yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to ruin my birthday again.
Yeah.
Don't worry. For me,
don't you support Man United?
Why can you say something like that to me?
I swear that's the team you hate the most.
Yeah, it is. Like, nah, that's dope. You can call me.
Why would you do that?
Iman.
We did so well.
Iman is gone.
Eman's watching Big Brother, fam. He's talking about Ekin Su.
Be like, why did you have to ruin it? It was going so well.
It was actually going really good. You guys, I was impressed.
Hey, I don't even care about the result, bro. I just want Poch to be sacked.
Yeah, I need him gone. Because Arsenal being good makes me sick as well.
Yeah, I just can't have Arsenal or Liverpool win the league, man. That's
not. The thing is,
Arsenal will not win the league. Come on now.
Nah, the GD is coming important now because Liverpool and the Thingy play each other next week. So Arsenal will be second next week.
All right, Iman. You know what? That's it. That's
it. Anyways, guys, thank you for tuning in, man. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you at some point during the next week. Beep. After you play Newcastle, follow us on all socials. You already know the vibes. In a bit, guys.
Possibly bleak as this. Drogba! Can you believe it? Chelsea will just not let go in the Champions League. It's dramatic story of the season. It's Torres to give Chelsea.
It wasn't his goal to win.
And it's like a chain of Vicky. Would you have got a chain? Oi, them man drip like soy. Had a 20 on me like Hudson.